This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Is there a lot more cast in this? Is it a very, very tight story with them dealing with the story?
I mean, there's as a franchise evolves, there are inevitably going to be new characters that come in, and that we keep killing off our characters, so it's hard to. It's hard to have them come back. Although we have figured out how to do that on more than one occasion. But the Michael Ealy is, I would hope that we will see his character in subsequent films. There are other characters that you'll recognize, that you'll see in this film that we would hope would carry forward.
It's basically a lot of new characters.
There are a lot of new characters. Yes. There's almost no characters at all that... there's Kate, and then there's Michael, who plays the Scott Speedman character.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
Well, he's not. I should be careful about this. Yeah, but his character plays a role in the film.
Okay.
And then the idea is that he would come back in the fifth one.
Okay.
I want to go back real quickly just to about the 3D thing. Does the production and you as the producer worry that there's a lot of 3D films coming out, and a lot of the audiences are sort of reacting with the headaches and saying so a lot of people are voicing opinions that they don't like the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry about that, about 3D backlash?
No, not really. I mean, we're trying to shoot a film that you can like, in that you can appreciate in 3D and in 2D. We're not changing the way that you shoot a film in order to shoot it in 3D. We're still shooting the same film.
Right.
And there are certainly techniques that you can use that keep the keep headaches and keep the perceptive misalignments, the types of things that give people headaches. There's ways that you can keep that to a minimum. There are certain things, though, that 3D does better than 2D. For example, longer shots play better in 3D. And that quick cutty style, the Michael Bay style, doesn't really translate as well to 3D, but it's. I actually look at 3D similar to color. And when color came into filmmaking, at first it was flashy, and everybody had to be wearing either a red dress or a blue suit, or they were standing next to a green wall or something. They were showing it off, but then over time it just became part of the basic vocabulary of filmmaking, and the color filmmaking and black and white filmmaking coexisted for 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. Who knows whether or not 3D is going to play that exact same role, but with 3D-enabled televisions already available to consumers and 3D-equipped theaters now really having a significant footprint across North America and really the rest of the world, I think that there is always going to be a political and economic pressure to shoot films in 3D. Whether or not it creates the splash that it has for the last 2 years, continuing where you see 40 or 50% of a film's revenue coming from, and theatrically anyway, from the 3D screenings rather than the 2D, I can't see how that couldn't fall off. You know, there's a certain faddishness.
Can you talk about that when you get to the fourth film in a franchise, mm-hmm. if you're lucky enough to get to the fourth film in the mm-hmm. franchise, how much calculation there is in terms of your decision-making in as much as, will this be good for the box office? Are we making a film that will appeal mainly to the hardcore fans,
uh-huh.
or will it appeal to people who haven't seen the last two movies, maybe only saw the first movie?
Well, you always have to go through that. There are obviously been a great number of franchises that have been successful in Hollywood history, and many of them didn't involve me, so I can't tell you how everybody looks at it. But filmmaking is an incredibly expensive art form. On a big film, it's not unusual to find a film costing over $200,000 a day. We all know what star salaries are, and the visual effects budgets are insane. And when you shoot in 3D, multiply everything times two because you got to do a left eye and a right eye. So it's the economic considerations are of course paramount, especially in big budget tentpole filmmaking. And whenever you are making that kind of an investment, you always want to make sure that you can make back as much money as possible. So there's always pressure to do exactly what you're talking about. Make a film that will appeal to the hardcore audience, but also be able to welcome in potential new viewers. Especially when you're making a movie that's slanted towards a younger demographic, there's new generations coming along. You want to appeal to them as well. So yes, of course, that consideration does enter into it. It has to. There's no other way to make sure that you remain solvent as a businessman in the film business.
To that, I wanted to ask you. You and I were talking about last night. Uh-huh. The second film was a bit more brutal than uh-huh. the first film.
Yeah.
And I know they're not gore films per se, but the New Moon subtitle gave me a little pause. It's slightly Twilight-esque.
Don't pay attention to that. There have been so many subtitles thrown out with this film that we finally just said the hell with it. Let's just call it Underworld 4 now, and then we'll figure out what it's going to be. There's nothing to do with the moon at all. This film is not, it's not going to be a PG-13 movie. This is going to be an R. Underworld films have always been R. That's what people expect. There is a time now when people think a PG-13 action film or even a horror film will do more business. That's not this one. There's plenty of hardcore blood and guts in this one. No one will be disappointed.
We all think PG-13 means phony and compromise. That's what horror fans.
Well, it's also given us clever gun
drag. Right,
but it depends. But quick question for you. Has the 3D affected the visuals much? I mean, the other
ones
have always been kind of dark. But 3D, you're wearing sunglasses in a movie theater.
Yeah.
So that darkens the emotion more.
Yep.
So does this film, is it a little brighter than the previous Underworld films to compensate? Or?
Not necessarily, no. In order to compensate for the amount of light reaching your eyes through the glasses, the projected image is going to be a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
So you can just account for that. It's not... The differences that you find in shooting for 3D are that you're always trying to compose on multiple planes, where you have somebody in the something in the foreground, something in the midground, something in the background, and things moving this way in the frame as well. You'll find yourself more thinking along those lines and deciding how to shoot each individual shot. And you'll find yourself also wanting to make sure that there is a deep background in every shot, that you're through a doorway or choosing a location like this one, for example. This one is chosen specifically with 3D in mind, because there's a great deal of dimensionality and distance in the frame. So those elements will become part of your decision-making process.
Well, one of the things, besides 3D, a lot of 3D movies coming out, there's also, when the first Underworld came out, there were no vampire movies. There was nothing vampires at all.
No, there is Blade, but...
Now there seems to be, there's a lot of people already saying,
I know,
enough of the vampires. Is it kind of getting away from that a little bit, or is it still very much...
This film still has the same elements that the old Underworld films have had. The lead is a vampire. There are still werewolves. There are covens. There is, even though the vampire and werewolf populations have been decimated 15 years ago by this purge that happened, there are still remnants of that. And there is still this deep connection to the past and the weight of the past on the characters. There still is all that stuff. Having said that, though, this film is going to rely less on atmospherics and more on actual action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that a lot more practical? Is it being done CG-wise? Sorry.
No, we're mixing it up. I'm not a big fan of doing too much in CG. I just never think it looks great. But there are certain things you just can't do, practically.
I think David wants you as soon as you can.
I know. Yeah. I have a little fire I have to go put out. I can maybe come back later.
That would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Richard.
Yep.
Richard, perhaps even lunchtime, because Mons and Bjorn can no longer come at lunch.